welcome to Church Project. We're glad that you're here. We're over in the gym. Doesn't this floor look great? Yeah, you did a good job. We were playing basketball on it this morning. Where were you at? Come on. I don't want you here. You'll destroy me. I'm so tired right now. Anyways, let's come back. We're here gathered. Welcome to Church Project. I see Corey and Jared Webb here, and we've been praying for you. Corey fell off a horse and got a concussion and other things, and so thank you for being here. We're glad that you're here. We're going to continue to pray for healing for her. So go hug her and pray for her after this. We are going through the book of Acts, and if you want to open it up, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10 is what we're looking at today. We say we're a church. We're a gathering of people that love Jesus, and we love the mission of Jesus in this world, and we want to live that out together. And we're also a project. We're an ongoing pursuit to discover what Christ originally intended church to be. And so when we open up the New Testament and we read about the church of the New Testament, we see that they did a couple things really well. Like they gathered in the temple court by the thousands. And so we gather on Sunday mornings, and we see that the church also met in community and in houses throughout the week. And so we do that as well. I think our house churches start this week. Am I right, house church pastors? Is that this week? Okay, we took the month of July off, but our house churches start up again this week. And so we model our house churches after what we saw the New Testament church doing and what we read about. And then as we look at the New Testament church also, they met needs wherever they went. And so through our ministry partnerships, we meet needs as well. So here's the good news. I think we have, 10, a dozen ministry partnerships, Humbill, something like that. And if you've ever been here and you've ever tithed a penny, well, maybe more than a penny. If you've ever given anything here, part of that money goes right back to those ministry partnerships because we feel like that's what God's called us to do. So we want to continue to give financially and relationally to all of our fantastic ministry partnerships. So thank you for believing in the way that we do church. And I think we got a pretty good church. What do you think? Pretty good church. I want to let you know of a couple things. One, on August 26th, in this room right here, you're going to come in looking all pretty, ready for Church Project as normal, but you're going to find a square dance collar and straw bales everywhere. If we can find straw, we need straw. Someone, like, where do we get straw? Maybe not straw, but if we find it, it's here. And so, yeah, don't bring your Bible. That's what we're going to do for church on August 26th, and it's going to be same time, so just show up. Bring friends, bring your neighbors. It's going to be a good old hoot and holler and whatever. We'll get more information about that as well, but that's also, we're going to have a potluck, and so I'm looking forward to that because someone always goes to the store and buys fried chicken because they forget, and I love that fried chicken, so come on, that's August 26th. A couple other things is, if you're new here and you're not getting our emails, you can go to our website, churchprojectgreeley.com. Scroll down to the bottom of that website, and there's a connection card. Give us your name and email, and we'll keep you in the loop of all the crazy things that we're doing here. So let's look at Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. Four verses today, and I thought about moving on, but these four verses are really good, and they hit me hard. I think they'll hit you hard as well in a very beautiful way. So let me read through these, okay? Paul and his companions, and Elijah, if you have the map, if you want to throw that up, you can look at the map if you would like here. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This is the second journey, missionary journey. What had just happened is Paul, Barnabas, a group of people just came back from what was called the Jerusalem Council. A lot of things were happening here. In fact, two people got in a fight, and now this second missionary journey is going in two different directions with two groups of people. When others struggle, sometimes it really calms me and reassures me. Like when you mess up, sometimes I'm like, oh, bummer. But inside, I'm like, sweet, they messed up. Because I might not be the only one like this. Sometimes I struggle with insecurity and second-guessing myself. So when I see you mess up, I'm like, boom, quietly. But I'm just morbid. Does any of you do that? No? Okay, you guys are all holy and all that stuff. So I don't ever do that either. But I'm just saying, so when I see people mess up, sometimes I'm like, oh, bummer. And yes, that makes me feel a little better about myself. It happened to me in college. I was pretty good shape coming out of high school. I was thin as a rail. I didn't weigh a lot. I had little body fat. I was a wrestler. And I go to college, so I can destroy and take anyone on. Like, I'm ready to do it. People, you know, twice my age, I loved wrestling them because they thought they could muscle me, and it was all about technique, right? And so I have this mindset at whatever age that is. I can take on the world. And one of my cute little girlfriends there said, you know what? I bet you can't even pick up a chair. I was like, what are you talking about? And if you've ever tried this challenge, men, it's humiliating, isn't it? I think we have a little video. You want to show this video? Raise your hand if you've done this. You haven't seen it yet. Here it is. That's messed up. How many of you have ever tried that? Who thinks they're super tough right now? Like, you've never tried that? Okay, we need to, who's tough? You want to do it right now? No, okay, we'll do it later. Afterwards, all the guys are going to be leaned up against the wall trying to pick this up, and all the women are going to walk up and do it. I don't understand it, but I got defeated there. What's that? Center of gravity, yeah. Women, higher balance, all that stuff, yeah. And so we'll leave it at that. And me trying to pick it up, it's like embarrassing. I couldn't do it. As I'm looking at the part of Acts here, I'm looking at people that don't quite have it all together. They can't do everything right. Sometimes they mess up. They don't even know why they're messing up. This is part of Acts. This is my favorite part of Acts. And why do you say, and why is it my favorite part? It's because they were just as confused and had just as many problems as I do and as we do. Like, we're reading about these historical events that changed the way people see Christ, Christians, and church. And this is the beginning of Christianity. Like, these are the superstars, and they didn't have it all together. The guys probably couldn't pick up chairs. You know, I mean, they're messed up. The early church is living what I call the three C's nightmare. And if you are following along on YouVersion, the notes are there. I'd encourage you to save them for house church. But the three C nightmares is this. One, previously in the passages we just came through, we see that they had conflict. Yes, these super Christians had conflict. And in which way? Barnabas decides not to give up on Mark, which I love. Barnabas is an older guy, decides not to give up on Mark, who's a young whippersnapper. And so he takes him. But the younger Paul's like, I'm not taking him. And so we see conflict. We see a division right there, right? The second C that we read about earlier is compromise. That's when Paul, last week, he's like, you know what? Maybe, Timothy, you should get circumcised, even though the council of Jerusalem just determined you didn't have to. And so we see compromise happening. And then in this passage right here, we see confusion. Did you see that as we read through it? We see confusion. They don't even know where they're going. And so in a matter of how short of a time right here, these super Christians have all experienced conflict, compromise, and confusion. Makes me feel better. Does it make you feel better? I'm just morbid that way. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So after ministering in Phrygia and Galatia, Paul wanted to go southwest, and that was his intent. He wanted to go southwest to the province of Asia. And who wouldn't want to go there? Because he was probably aiming to go to Ephesus. And if you know about Ephesus, this is a very important capital of Asia. And so if I'm Paul, I'm thinking, obviously, I've got a great message. I need to beeline southwest to the capital because there's a ton of people that need to hear this good news message. Like, there's a lot of activity in this area. Obviously, God wants to send me to that important capital city with this important message. Besides, they probably had good internet connection and falafel to die for, so he wanted to go there. They had a sweet library for sure. Like he's thinking, here's where I'm going. I've been around, and here I'm just showing you how morbid I am and how I think. Okay, so I've been around for a while, and I was a missionary in Mexico for a year, and I would have friends that would call me up, and they're like, Aaron, I feel like I'm getting compelled to go overseas or do missions somewhere. And I'm like, where at? Hawaii? Cancun? I'm like, I'm feeling led to do that too, right? Like, I want to do that, and I'm not bashing missionaries in Hawaii and Cancun, but how convenient is that? Like, Paul, he's like, I'm going to good internet, killer falafel, I'm going to this place, and in the middle of what he thinks happening, God just, he changes the plan up. He's confused. He doesn't even know where he's going. When it's clear what God wants from me, I have no problem moving. Most of the time, I have no problem moving and going and following God's command when it's clear. The problem for me, however, is when it seems that God is seemingly silent. And it's difficult for me to understand and to see where God's taking me. I might be thinking Ephesus, but all of a sudden now I'm not certain about Ephesus anymore. And I'm kind of going, but I'm kind of like, God, what do you have for me? And when it's clear, it's easy. Sometimes when it's not clear, it's so difficult to follow what you think God has for us. I want to encourage us, church, as we look at this and we look at these superheroes of a faith and we look at their journeys and we watch them as they're going through this confusing time here, to give God room and space to speak and move in our life. Not be so focused on Ephesus and getting to Ephesus, or not so focused on this one thing that we're not letting God move and speak in our life. I could see myself being Paul going, I'm going to good falafel, come hell or high water. I'm going there. And I haven't given God permission and room to speak and move in my life. You? Have you done the same? Be positioned to obey. And what that means is go about our day. And from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, holding our life loosely, being held by the Holy Spirit, and being positioned in a spot and a posture willing to obey what God may be saying and doing. What do you do with this? I think, Elijah, you might have another. What do you do with this? That's messed up, huh? That's so inconvenient, isn't it? Going through our day. Do you notice these signs anymore? Do you judge when you see these signs? What do you do when you see this sign? I'm always in conflict when I see a sign like this. Are you? But again, I'm just showing you how morbid I am. Am I so focused on going to Ephesus that I miss this sign? That God could actually be asking me to do something? Now, is it my job to determine what this individual is going to do with this money or handout that I give him? Absolutely not. What's my job to do? To be soft. To be listening and tuned into the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's going to be like, yeah, I'm emptying my wallet. Sometimes it's I'm going to be buying you a meal. Sometimes it's no, I don't think so on this one. The point of it is, and I'm not convicting you, I'm just putting up this as an illustration. The point of it is, are you being so pliable in your day that you're willing to do what God asks you to do? Are you focused on Ephesus no matter what? We can miss by good intentions doing what God has for us. When it's clear what God wants us to do, I have no problem. But are you in a position to even listen to what God has you to do? Basically, are we training our bodies to decipher the Holy Spirit in a split-second decision? And this is quite often a split-second decision, isn't it? Like you're driving, you're listening to Goo Goo Dolls or whatever you're listening to, you're having a great time, you're texting, you're drinking your Coke, you're doing whatever you're doing, you're distracted, and you turn and you get stopped at that stoplight you was hoping you weren't going to get stopped at because you kind of saw that person, and now you have a split-second decision because they're literally 2 feet from you looking in your window, and you have to determine as a Christian, what are you going to do? And it's training our body to listen to the Holy Spirit in a split second decision. I'll leave that one up to you. It's up to you what you're going to do. God wrestles with me with this case all the time. So do what you're going to do. But there's the point. As we're looking at these verses right here, I mean, Paul, he's getting ready to go, but what happens in verse 6? He's kept by the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? Like, he's kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the providence of Asia. How did the Holy Spirit do that? Like, Paul is resolute. Like, I'm going to focus on preaching this in Asia. And the Holy Spirit, what? It kept him from preaching. We like to call that what? A door slammed shut, right? Closed doors. What happened also in verse 6, okay, in verse 7, in verse 7, when he came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. I think it's interesting, and you can go on your own side note study here. The Spirit of Jesus? Like, did he see Jesus? Why was he calling it the Spirit of Jesus? But second, verse 6, the door was slammed shut. Verse 7, the door was slammed shut. And Paul's probably going, well, now what? Like, my plan was this, but the Holy Spirit has slammed the door twice. Where has the Holy Spirit slammed the door in your life? Closed doors. You're like, I thought this was it, but this is not it. Proverbs 16:9 says this, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And all of God's people say, amen. In our hearts, how we wake up in today, what we think God's doing with our day. If you're like me, you have your schedule, you're rocking and rolling, you're going, like that's our plans, but are we soft enough to let God determine our steps tomorrow morning and the next and the one after that? Okay, let's move on. Verse 8. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul, did you catch it? Had a vision. How cool is that? I would like to say that's an open door, would you? He's experienced two shut doors so far, two closed doors. He's obviously not going to Ephesus right now. Bummer, because he likes that falafel. And in verse 8, what happens? He has a vision. I want to ask us this as I step back from this passage just for a minute. Just let's zoom Christianity to 2018 today, right now. This man of Paul, as he's focused on doing his thing, is no greater a man than us men and women in this room. He was guided by the Holy Spirit, and what happened in this moment? He was given a vision. Church, do you ask God for visions for your life? Do you ask God? God, give me a vision. God, give me a word. Give me a sign. I want to see. I want to know what you're doing. Do you ask God for visions in your own life? And when you get one, will you second guess it and say, oh, that was just coincidence? We can rationally take away what God could be showing in our life because we're not asking God for visions. And when he does give us something really clear, we can go, that was just coincidence. It's just coincidence that I was asking to have a softer heart and to love others, and you put that homeless dude there. Another, just an example. Like, are we asking God for visions? And when we get one, are we second guessing it? Here's one song that I really like. Some of the lyrics says, Spirit, move me where my faith is without borders. If you've sang that song, Spirit, move me where my faith is without borders, do you know what you're praying for? Like, you're praying for God to destroy everything you've ever known about Christianity and take you into places that are new and amazing to give you visions and do incredible things in your life. Do you really want that in your life? I want that. I pray that over my life. I pray that over all of us at Church Project. And why? Because we see Jesus. What did he do when he walked on this earth? Like, he lived and moved continually directed by the Holy Spirit. He went from this place to this place doing what the Holy Spirit asked and directed. And we should do no less than model what Jesus has done with his life. Being led by the Spirit, Aaron went to the library. Being led by the Spirit, Aaron worked out. Being led by the Spirit, Aaron took a 2-hour nap because he worked out too hard. Being led by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Church, are we being led by the Spirit in our life? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3 says this, for I will pour pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. My prayer for us is that our dry ground, our hearts, our minds, our lives, that we would pray that God would pour water onto our dry, parched grounds. That he would give us new visions and new thoughts, that he would bring passion to our lives like we've never known it, that we would love people deeper and harder than we ever have, that we would dig into his word more than we ever have, and we with our open hands would say, God, pour your water and your spirit onto my dry, parched heart, mind, life, and body. I need you. Imagine if the church, all of us, that was what we did every single moment of our life. I'm having more and more what I'll call visions these days. And it's kind of like shooting a free throw for me, which I'm terrible at, but I'm getting better. Like when I, being a wrestler, you could understand my form is not good. And if you're running at me, all I want to do is take you down, not just stand in your way, like literally take you down. So you give me a ball and tell me to put it in a hoop like that. I mean, my form's crazy, but I'm getting better at it. And why am I getting better at it? Because I'm working at it. I'm not going to be anything like Jeremy, who can dunk it, two hands, do a 360. It's amazing. You should come on Sunday mornings and watch. But I'm getting better at it. And the only reason I'm getting better at it is I'm working at it. And when I'm working at it, the more I'm working at it, the more I can understand that my muscles are kind of doing the things that I'm training them to do, and I'm getting more confident. And when I have more confidence, I can make... make more baskets because I've done it. It's repetition over and over again. I'm having more and more visions these days, and I'm getting more confident that God's giving them to me. Me, not you, me. Words and cool things, and he's doing new things in my life. And are you practicing muscle memory of the Holy Spirit in your life? Willing to move on a dime and do what God's calling you to do or not do what you think God's calling you to do? You'll put that word together. Okay. Let's go to verse 10. Paul had seen the vision. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I want to just take note. This is one of those little nerdy things. Verse 10 is the first time in the whole book of Acts that Luke, who's writing this book of Acts, uses the we. And he does it for a few more chapters, and then he disappears again, which tells us that Luke was literally there at this point, and it was we he was experiencing, and he's writing about things that he experienced with Paul. So that's a cool little tidbit right there. And Paul was thought by many scholars to be sick and ill, just as a human. A lot of people that look back and read on the Paul of life, they're like, he had something. Some people say it was a thorn in his flesh, something like that. And a lot of people will say that he continually walked around sick or ill. He had something wrong with him, which would make sense. Who's writing this book? Luke. And who is Luke? A physician. And so during this time, could their paths be crossed because Paul is sick and needs a physician to go with him? Just hypothetical. I wasn't there, but there's a fun little tidbit. I think it's neat that in verse 10, Paul had a vision. We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that what God had called us to preach the gospel to them. All it took for God to get their attention was to give him a vision and say, you're going to Macedonia, and Paul and Luke go to Macedonia. What do we call this? A door wide open. Paul had to live and walk and slam his face into two closed doors, slam shut when he thought that's what God was calling him to do. But we see in verse 10, being soft by the Spirit, God got his attention, gave him a vision, and now there's a door wide open. Church, have you ever had something where you had to make a decision in your life? And you're like, God, just show me what to do. Like Lauren and I had to walk through some stuff this summer where it's like, God, we have no idea. But time and time again, doors shut, 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 only for an open door. Are we patient enough to trust God? And are we willing to, when we hit our face against the door, stop trying to open it, to back up and to ask God, what are you doing with our life? Because I guarantee you, He's showing you an open door. It may take time. It may take patience. But church, look how he got Paul's attention. He can get our attention too. That's way cool. 2 Corinthians 4:7, and I'll end with this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The cool thing about the Holy Spirit is that's where the power's at. God's not asking us to show up and be powerful and mighty. He's saying just show up. My Holy Spirit is all the power you'll ever need. If I'm closing a door, don't try to open it. But if I'm opening a door, no matter how scary it may be, no matter how much you might not want to walk through it, walk through it. My power is enough and my grace is enough for you. That's a really good message, man. I'm going to listen to this message tomorrow because I need to hear it again, Grandpa. We're going to pause, like that's it, but I'm really compelled for two things. One, Carl, come on up here. You know Carl Brock because you can't miss him. I think this is your last Sunday or close to. Carl, if we have a mic, I don't know if you want to get a mic or this pink, that one.
This one?
I don't know. There, is that on?
Hello?
Okay. As much, if you know his story, you love what God's done with him, but why don't you just give us a 2-minute, like, where are you going, and why is this your last Sunday? We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, so as Aaron mentioned, my name is Carl Brockmeyer, and I work with an organization called Crew. And starting in August, I'll be working to go to the Middle East for a year to launch ministries on college campuses over there. So I'll be working on about 17 campuses in this country, in the Middle East. Unfortunately, I can't say due to security reasons, but what we hope to do is really win new students to Christ, build them up in their faith, and then equip them to launch ministries and continue to carry the gospel onto their campuses. So this will be basically what a year will look like of just continuing to live in a foreign country, build these students up in faith, and hopefully create more movements that will sustain themselves long after I leave. That's kind of the basis of it.
Okay, excellent. It's been fun, you know, watching Carl, you know, as you've grown up here. But I even think back to a few months back as you were trying to determine, is God opening a door? Is this an open door? Is this not a door? And it wasn't an easy decision. And so we're so proud of you to see that, I mean, this is it. Like, you're going to take a long plane ride, and who knows what God's going to do. But as we read about in the book of Acts, I mean, we see Paul getting sent out by the churches to other places. They're praying for him. They're supporting him. Just always know, I mean, when you're over there, that the church here in Greeley and other are praying for you. Like, we're there for you. And so we're very proud of you. We're going to ask you, we're going to pray over Carl here in a minute for sure. But I'm gonna make it really awkward. You can just stand here because I'm going to call Weston Kurz up here. Everyone's like, dang it, the mic's open. Neither of these guys knew it was coming. So Weston Kurz is the executive. No, what's your title?
That's right.
Executive director of DaySpring, which this school right here, you know, we met here for years now. This floor looks great. This is incredible. He's got a big load on his shoulders, and that's leading the charge here. I mean, as teachers, that's everything about it. Like, I don't want your job ever. Wow, I thought leading a church was hard, but what this guy does is incredibly hard. And I can speak just from my daughters. You know, Zoe graduated this year, came here from 6th grade, 7th grade on. Audra's going to school here. I can speak just as a parent, like what the Christian education has done and the friendships that they've gathered here and the experiences they've had here have been absolutely incredible. And I know this man gets attacked all the time. I know that his teachers, his staff, administration gets attacked all the time as well. And this right here is the season where he has to try to piece a bunch of stuff together and just trust that God is opening doors and providing and all that stuff. And so I thought it very appropriate that we pray for Weston as well. I know I didn't ask you to come up and speak. And so, I mean, is there something specifically that you can say, church, would you please pray for Dayspring and for me and this, and maybe even a way that we can physically encourage you or whatever. So mic's open for you.
Yeah, I would just say, and this actually goes for everybody that's in this room, it's really about what we do here is about making disciples. And I'm really convicted for our teachers. And I just met a teacher next to me. She's not here at Dayspring, but teachers that get to go out and make a difference. And Lauren, all these people, there's a lot of them that come to the school. A lot of ministries like Crew and a lot of teachers that are part of this body of Christ. You honestly, probably the percentage that are part of those sorts of things is higher than I think in most churches. So God is calling those folks to this school and this time to meet. And I just pray for our teachers to have, and I mean all our teachers, not just at Dayspring, all of our teachers to just be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to go out into the battlefield. And I'm talking, when I say teachers, I mean disciple makers. Maybe that's a better word, which is actually all of us. So that's what I'd be praying for, is disciple making to happen, you know, where Carl's going and other places like that.
Okay. How can we encourage you specifically?
Me personally, he didn't let me off the hook there with that, did he? You know, I've got way too many things to do and not enough time to do them. I start with teachers tomorrow morning. I've got a message I need to deliver on mission values, core values, and vision. And I'm not ready to go yet tomorrow morning. So I've got some practical things I need to do today, which I honestly hate working on Sundays. You can pray for that for me personally.
Okay. Why don't we do this? If you're compelled to pray for Carl or for Weston, we're going to just go into a time of worship here. And I would love it. I mean, we got to move these chairs anyways. By the way, we're setting up and tearing down every Sunday. So if you're sitting in it, you're packing it up. And if there's one, and you got to do the whole front row, which is incredible. And so that those are on the edges, all that stuff. But I think this would be a really good time just to kind of break out the norm. Jeremy, you can come up and lead a song of worship for us. We'll dim the lights down. We can begin to just put chairs down. But more important than that, like, we can come and pray over Carl and Weston. And so we'll just have you guys, like, Weston, stand there. Carl, you stand there. I feel like this is the best way to do it. Church, let's just stand up. I'm going to pray for us. And then as you're compelled, like, come surround these men and pray that they would be encouraged and whatever you want to pray over them. So let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us here. God, I pray that as we read in Scripture here that this whole group of people, man, they walked through conflict and they had to compromise at times, and they had confusion, and they just had to trust that you're good and you're guiding them. They had to deal with their own insecurities. God, they were humans just like us, and I thank you for taking the time through Luke to give us this message, because I believe we all need to hear it. They were human like us, and you used them in powerful ways simply because of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for your church, your people that are here today, that we would be pliable. Our hearts, our minds would be pliable, that we would open our hands to you and say, God, speak and move through me. And God, I pray specifically for Carl and Weston that are here, that you would let them know you're in control, that whatever their task looks like, close doors, open doors, and let them know that it's not their power, it's your power, God. Encourage them today. Give them words. Give them visions. Let them know, God, that you are using them to push back the gates of hell. And I pray they can celebrate that. And so, church, if we would, let's begin to move. Let's begin to worship. Let's begin to pray out loud over Carl and Weston. You can come and lay your hands on them, and I'll wrap us up in a little bit.